Welcome to Next Day Prep, what we are watching tomorrow.
Every great story needs a catalyst, a turning point that changes the entire narrative. And today, the market gave us a script with a powerful, optimistic twist. I'm your host, and as a screenwriter, I'm always looking for the plot points that drive the action. Today was no different.
We saw the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ not just climb, but soar to new all-time highs. It was a day of broad-based gains, a real ensemble performance. But the question we're going to unpack is, what was the inciting incident? What flipped the script from a quiet open to a full-blown rally?
That's the story we're setting up tonight. We'll look at the economic data and the key earnings reports that acted as the story's engine, propelling everything forward. We're going to break down the scenes, from the strength in big tech to the surprising outperformance in small caps, to get you ready for the next day's opening act.
Okay, so let's break down those scenes. Before we get to the big name headliners, what was the underlying economic script for the day? The stuff that sets the mood.
Right, the mood music. And honestly, it was pretty calm, which is exactly what the market wanted. No big dramatic chords. We saw May business inventories come in flat, a little better than the slight decline expected. The NHIB housing market index ticked up a point to 33, also a beat. It's all stable.
Stable is good. No plot twists from the macro data. And what about from overseas? What was the global backdrop?
More of the same supportive tone. Europe had a strong day. The DAX was up 1.5%. Asia was mostly positive. So you have this steady, slightly optimistic foundation being laid, both at home and abroad. It creates an environment where individual stories can really, really shine.
And a big individual story today was a comeback narrative, wasn't it? A consumer giant that had been in the penalty box.
Oh, a huge one, PepsiCo. The stock popped 6%. This was a classic prove-it quarter after they had that rare miss last time, and boy, did they prove it.
So it wasn't just about the earnings beat. What was under the hood that got investors so excited?
It was the return to growth. I mean, yes, the EPS upside was key, but revenue grew 1%. Now, 1% sounds modest, but it reverses a trend of three straight quarters of declines. That's the signal. The ship is turning.
And the organic revenue accelerated too. That shows the core business is getting healthier.
Exactly. And they're doing it while navigating all the junk we've been talking about for months. Supply chain costs, shaky consumer demand. It's impressive execution. You saw it in the Frito-Lay segment, where volume trends actually improved.
So they're gaining market share in things like corn chips and flavored tortillas? That's not just defense, that's offense.
That's pure offense. But the real story, the one everyone was holding their breath for, was the beverage business in North America.
The PBNA segment. Yeah, that's been the weak spot.
And it wasn't weak today. Organic revenue up 1%, volume trends improving, and get this, the actual Pepsi brand gained share. Pepsi Zero saw double-digit growth in volume and revenue. That's a monster number.
And that Poppi acquisition seems to be plugging them into that younger, health-conscious demographic looking for soda alternatives.
It's a smart bolt-on, but here's the kicker for me. They grew operating margins in the beverage segment, in this environment. They're using automation, data, and smart pricing to not just sell more, but to make more on each sale. That is management firing on all cylinders.
So you have the snacks doing well, the drinks turning around, and I saw the international business was a bright spot too.
17 straight quarters of at least mid-single-digit growth. It's a machine. So you take this stock, which has been trending down since last October, gets hit hard after Q1, and today's report just settled every nerve in the room. It's a powerful character arc that added a ton of fuel to today's rally.
Okay, so PepsiCo provides that strong consumer staple foundation. But the real rocket fuel for the NASDAQ came from the semiconductors, right? And one name in particular.
Oh, the biggest name, Taiwan Semiconductor, TSM. This was the report that could have either validated the entire AI rally or poked a huge hole in it, and it was a massive validation.
They beat on earnings, and the guidance for the third quarter was, what's the word? Explosive.
Explosive is the right word. They guided Q3 revenue well above what anyone was expecting. It just confirms that the demand for high-end chips, for data centers, for AI, it's not slowing down. It's accelerating. TSM is the foundry for the entire world. If they're this bullish, it lifts all boats.
It's the ultimate tell for the health of the entire tech ecosystem.
It really is. And it wasn't just tech. You saw strength in old-school industrials. GE Aerospace had a huge beat and raise, 23 cents above estimates, and they boosted their full-year outlook. The travel story is clearly intact.
Speaking of travel, United Airlines was a bit more of a mixed bag, wasn't it?
A little bit. They beat on the bottom line, but missed on revenue, and a key metric, TRASM, was down. But here's the forward-looking part of the script. They said they've seen a 6-point acceleration in demand starting in July. The market heard that and chose to focus on the future, not the past.
And what about the financials? I saw a flood of reports from the banks.
A flood of beats, mostly. U.S. Bank Corp, Fifth Third, Synovus, the regionals looked pretty solid. USB even guided their full-year revenue higher. It just adds to that picture of broad strength. It wasn't just a tech story today.
So you have staples, tech, industrials, and financials all pointing in the right direction. Meanwhile, there was some noise out of Washington about tariffs.
Yeah, the familiar trade war subplot. Chatter about the U.S. considering widespread tariffs and the EU already preparing to retaliate. It's a risk factor for sure, but on a day like today, the earnings music was just playing too loud for anyone to hear it.
The signal was stronger than the noise.
Much stronger. And looking ahead, the stage is set for a direct comparison. PepsiCo just gave us a blockbuster. Its biggest rival, Coca-Cola, is on deck to report next week. The beverage wars are about to give us another great scene.
And you have to wonder how Coca-Cola is going to respond to that script. But it wasn't just these big earnings reports driving the narrative today. There was a whole flurry of M&A and corporate news, just a ton of subplots developing under the surface.
Oh, a ton. And some of them were really fascinating, almost contradictory stories. You take Amazon, for instance. We get news that AWS, the cloud computing juggernaut, is cutting some jobs.
The growth engine is trimming fat? That seems counterintuitive on a day like this.
Right? But then, in the same breath, you see a company like DigiPower X placing a definitive order with Supermicro for NVIDIA's B200-powered systems. They're building out a massive AI infrastructure platform.
So while one giant is optimizing, another is spending a fortune to build the next generation of AI. It's not a slowdown. It's a reallocation of capital to the absolute cutting edge.
That's the story. And you see it elsewhere. Nightscope, the security robot company, is partnering with Palantir to get into the federal market faster. AI is just weaving its way into every single sector.
And it's not just tech. We saw some huge moves in the old world, too. I saw L3Harris is planning a massive expansion in Arkansas.
Massive is an understatement. They're building a campus for large solid rocket motor production. We're talking more than 20 new facilities. That's a huge bet on the future of defense and space.
And speaking of big money, BlackRock is part of a group investing $10 billion in an Aramco infrastructure deal. Capital is not sitting on the sidelines.
Not at all. And then you get these fascinating shifts in business models. Bristol Myers and Pfizer are now going to sell Eliquis directly to patients at a discount.
Wow, they're cutting out the middleman entirely. That is a direct shot across the bow of the pharmacy benefit managers.
It's a huge plot twist in the healthcare saga. Meanwhile, you've got the usual drama. A senior pilot is now the focus of that Air India crash investigation involving a Boeing plane. That story just continues to have these painful chapters.
And on the consumer front, a bit of a sting for subscribers. Peacock is hiking its prices by $3 a month.
The streaming wars are now about who can actually make money. But the headline that made me laugh, President Trump commenting that Coke is going to use real sugar. You can't write that stuff.
You really can't. And one last one that caught my eye, the CFO at Dollar General is stepping down.
Yeah, that's a significant change at a key bellwether for the lower-end consumer. It just goes to show, even with the market at all-time highs, there are these incredibly important company-specific stories unfolding everywhere you look. The script is constantly being rewritten.
And that's the perfect segue, because it wasn't just CFOs rewriting their own career scripts. Wall Street analysts were out today with a ton of red ink, rewriting their scripts on some major consumer names.
Oh, it was a bloodbath for discretionary spending. Jefferies just took a hatchet to both Starbucks and Shake Shack, downgrading them to underperform.
Two big consumer brands. What's the read-through there? Is it just valuation, or is it something more fundamental?
It's the narrative that the premium consumer is getting tired. They're getting fatigued by the price hikes. But what's fascinating is that in the same breath, Jefferies upgraded Mondelez to a buy.
The maker of Oreos and Ritz crackers. So they're saying people are trading down from a $7 latte to a $3 package of cookies to eat at home.
That's the exact story, a flight to value, even in snacks. And you saw it in the auto space too. JP Morgan downgraded a slew of the auto dealers like Asbury and Group One Automotive.
The post-pandemic party for used car prices is officially over.
The credits are rolling on that one. But again, you see the flip side. You get upgrades on banks like Citi and Wells Fargo, and Elanco Animal Health gets a nod. It's a rotation, away from what worked yesterday and into what might work tomorrow.
And while the analysts are debating, the companies themselves are making huge, tangible moves. I saw Rivian is back on track in Georgia.
Back in a big way. They're resuming prep on that massive factory, eyeing a 2026 start. That's a $6.6 billion federal loan in the background. That's not a small bad.
And they're opening an East Coast headquarters in Atlanta. They are all in on that region. Meanwhile, Walmart is going the other way, cutting hundreds of corporate jobs.
It's that classic contrast. One company is in hypergrowth, build it at all costs mode, and the other is a mature giant optimizing the machine. Both are valid scripts for creating shareholder value.
And speaking of value, we saw a lot of cash being returned to shareholders. Popular, the bank, boosted its dividend and announced a $500 million buyback.
PPG Industries too, a dividend hike. When management does that, they're sending a very clear signal about their confidence in the future cash flow of the business. It's a tangible vote of confidence.
You also had some really, let's call them next generation confidence signals. Resolve AI reaffirming a $1 billion Bitcoin treasury strategy?
That is a wild subplot, and you have Seal Squaw completing validation for its post-quantum hardware. These are companies not just planning for the next quarter, but for a completely different technological world.
And then you have the old-world industrial drama, Airbus having to give Spirit Aerosystems another $94 million in support.
That story just keeps adding chapters. But look at Transocean. They just added almost $200 million in new contracts for their drilling rigs. The offshore cycle is still very much alive and well.
And it's not just the companies rewriting their own scripts. The Wall Street analysts were busy today, essentially casting new roles and assigning new character arcs to a ton of names. It felt like a flood of initiations.
It was a casting call for the rest of the year, and you saw some really clear themes. Take the payment space. Deutsche Bank comes out and resumes coverage on three big players.
And they were not all treated equally.
Not at all. They put a buy on Shift4 and Toast, but they kept PayPal at a hold. That tells a story right there. They're betting on the nimbler, restaurant and software-focused players over the established giant.
So the money is flowing to the disruptors in that space. What about big tech? I saw some huge names getting new coverage.
Yeah, and again, a fascinating contrast. You have JP Morgan upgrading HP Enterprise, the old tech hardware play, to an overweight. Skoda Bank starts Oracle with an outperform, seeing a $300 target.
Wow, so big bets on the established giant's comeback tour.
Exactly. But then on the flip side, HSBC initiates on CoreWeave, one of the hottest private AI infrastructure companies, with a reduce rating. That's a gutsy, contrarian call right out of the gate.
That's a plot twist, to come out negative on a name like that. And I saw some smaller, interesting names too. The RealReal getting a buy? A bet on the luxury resale market.
And how about Vertical Aerospace? Needham starting them with a buy. That's a pure high-concept bet on the future of urban air travel. So you have these scripts being written for every corner of the market, from old tech to flying taxis.
Okay, so that's the new cast of characters. What about the setting for tomorrow's scene? What does the economic data slate look like?
Pretty quiet, which is probably good. We get housing starts and building permits at 8:30. The market will be watching to see if the housing market is holding firm. Then at 10 o'clock, we get the first look at July consumer sentiment.
That's a big one. After all the talk about the consumer trading down, that number will be under a microscope.
It's a huge tell. But really, the data is just the opening act. The main event, the storyline for all of next week, is the earnings calendar. It is stacked.
It's a murderer's row. Where do you even start?
You start with the banks on Tuesday, JP Morgan, BlackRock, Wells Fargo. Then it keeps coming Wednesday with Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs. That's the entire financial system reporting in about 36 hours.
And then the tech and industrial headliners roll in.
Oh yeah, you get ASML, which is the other side of the coin to TSM. Then on Thursday after the bell, the one everyone's waiting for, Netflix. Can they continue that subscriber growth story? It's the ultimate streaming cliffhanger.
So you have this massive wave of fundamental catalysts about to hit. What is the tape? What are the charts telling us right now? Is the market positioned for a breakout or a breakdown?
Well, if you look at the SPY, it's telling a story of resilience. It's been churning, but it's holding that 628 level. It's stable. The QQQ, though, has a bit more of an upward tilt. It's pushing up against that 562 level with solid volume.
So the tech leadership is still there.
It is. The overall picture is a market that's coiled. It's absorbed a lot of news, it's at all-time highs, and it's basically just waiting. It's waiting for one of these big earnings reports next week to provide the dialogue for the next major move up or down.
So if the market is coiled like that, just waiting, what are the tripwires? What are the exact price levels that tell us whether this spring snaps up or down?
That is the entire game right now. For the SPY, the battlefield is drawn between 627 on the downside and 629 on the upside. It's been consolidating right around 628, so a break of those levels will be fast and loud.
And for the NASDAQ, the QQQ, which has been the leader.
Even tighter. Support is at 561, and the big resistance is 563. Given how resilient it's been, a solid move through 563, that could be the start of the next tactical breakout.
Okay, so we have the lines on the chart. What about the fear gauge? Does the VX or the VXX tell the same story of a coiled spring?
It does. The VXX has been incredibly stable, just hovering around that 45-50 level. There are no alarm bells ringing. It suggests tempered apprehension, but you have to watch it. Any sudden spike there is the first sign that the bearish script is about to start playing.
So the overall market is tight, but under the hood, is the money moving? Are we seeing rotations between sectors that give us a clue about what's coming next?
Oh, big time. It's not one market. It's a market of markets. You have clear divergent trajectories. The technology sector, the XLK, is showing real strength. It's recovering. Volume is there. It's confirming the story the QQQ is telling.
And where is that money coming from? What's looking weak?
Well, you look at financials, the XLF, or healthcare, the XLV. There's just no real momentum. The volumes are neutral. It's a clear sign that capital is rotating out of those areas and into growth.
And I saw a little bit of life and energy, the XLE.
Yeah, a noticeable surge there. So you have this interesting script. The market is betting on tech growth and, at the same time, hedging with a bit of a value play in energy. It's a really nuanced picture.
So if we're following the money into tech, which specific stocks are getting the lead roles? Where is the conviction?
You look at the mega caps. Apple, AAPL, is just consistently strong. It keeps retesting that upper resistance around 210.50. Google is the same. There's significant buying interest. The volume spikes are there. These are the names carrying the narrative.
And the analysts are following that script. I saw Johnson & Johnson, Chipotle, even PNC Bank getting upgrades today.
Right, but even that tells a story. J&J is a defensive healthcare giant. Chipotle is a premium consumer play, and PNC is a bank. It shows that even while tech leads, there are these company-specific stories that are working.
But let's be honest, the overall breadth wasn't great. I saw the end-of-day projection, something like 415 stocks down versus only 172 up.
And that's the caution I'm talking about. That's why you can't just buy the index. It confirms the rotation story. The market is getting narrower. It's focusing its bets on the big, reliable growth engines like tech, while the rest of the market kind of drifts.
It's a market for picking your spots, not for broad bets.
So if it's a market for picking your spots, let's get specific. What are the lead characters right now? Where are the scripts being written for a breakout?
Okay, so let's look at the protagonists of this rally. You start with the biggest names, Apple, AAPL. The story here is all about the 211 level. It's been consolidating, building energy, and the volume underneath tells you the buyers are just waiting for the green light.
So what's the cue for action? What's the entry point for that trade?
You could see a small pullback to around 210.50, and that's a spot to get in. But the real move is a definitive break above 211. If that happens with conviction, the next scene is written at 212. The escape hatch, your stop loss, is just under 209.50.
And the other headliner, it has to be NVIDIA.
The star of the whole show, NVDA. The plot here is challenging that 655 resistance. A break there signals a run to 660, maybe even 664. The volume is just immense. It's a freight train.
And the entry point for that one? You don't want to chase a freight train.
No, you don't. You look for a tactical entry. A dip back to 645 would be a gift. Otherwise, you wait for the confirmation above 655. But you have to be disciplined. If it breaks below 635, the story changes and you get out.
Okay, so that's the mega cap tech story. But the input also pointed to some other interesting names in tech. Maybe the supporting cast? I saw AMD on the list.
AMD is a great example. It's showing these huge volume spikes on the 30-minute chart. It's knocking on the door of 160.64. A break there, and you're looking at a quick move to 162.
And how about MSTR, the Bitcoin proxy play? That's a whole different kind of script.
A very different script. It's all about those huge volume spikes after periods of quiet. It's looking for a retracement to around 451, and then it's targeting 455 and higher. It's a high volatility, high concept play.
And it wasn't just tech. There was a healthcare name that popped up. AMDL?
Yeah, a smaller name, but a classic setup. A big surge in volume, a positive price trend. It's looking to break through 1073. If it does, the next target is $11. It's a pure momentum story.
So the theme is consistent. You're looking for that combination of a clear price level to break and a surge in volume to confirm that the big money is behind the move.
That's the entire script. It's not about guessing. It's about seeing where the institutional players are placing their bets and then riding that wave. You're following the narrative that the volume is riding for you.
And that's the perfect segue, because it wasn't just CFOs rewriting their own career scripts. Wall Street analysts were out today with a ton of red ink, rewriting their scripts on some major consumer names.
Oh, it was a bloodbath for discretionary spending. Jefferies just took a hatchet to both Starbucks and Shake Shack, downgrading them to underperform.
Two big consumer brands. What's the read-through there? Is it just valuation, or is it something more fundamental?
It's the narrative that the premium consumer is getting tired. They're getting fatigued by the price hikes. But what's fascinating is that in the same breath, Jefferies upgraded Mondelez to a buy.
The maker of Oreos and Ritz crackers. So they're saying people are trading down from a $7 latte to a $3 package of cookies to eat at home.
That's the exact story, a flight to value, even in snacks. And you saw it in the auto space, too. J.P. Morgan downgraded a slew of the auto dealers, like Asbury and Group One Automotive.
The post-pandemic party for used car prices is officially over.
The credits are rolling on that one. But again, you see the flip side. You get upgrades on banks like Citi and Wells Fargo, and Elanco Animal Health gets a nod. It's a rotation, away from what worked yesterday and into what might work tomorrow.
And while the analysts are debating, the companies themselves are making huge, tangible moves. I saw Rivian is back on track in Georgia.
Back in a big way. They're resuming prep on that massive factory, eyeing a 2026 start. That's a $6.6 billion federal loan in the background. That's not a small bet.
And they're opening an East Coast headquarters in Atlanta. They are all in on that region. Meanwhile, Walmart is going the other way, cutting hundreds of corporate jobs.
It's that classic contrast. One company is in hypergrowth, build it at all costs mode, and the other is a mature giant optimizing the machine. Both are valid scripts for creating shareholder value.
And speaking of value, we saw a lot of cash being returned to shareholders. Popular, the bank, boosted its dividend and announced a $500 million buyback.
PPG Industries, too, a dividend hike. When management does that, they're sending a very clear signal about their confidence in the future cash flow of the business. It's a tangible vote of confidence.
You also had some really, let's call them next-generation confidence signals. Resolve AI reaffirming a $1 billion Bitcoin treasury strategy?
That is a wild subplot. And you have SealsQ completing validation for its post-quantum hardware. These are companies not just planning for the next quarter, but for a completely different technological world.
And then you have the old world industrial drama. Airbus having to give Spirit AeroSystems another $94 million in support.
That story just keeps adding chapters. But look at Transocean. They just added almost $200 million in new contracts for their drilling rigs. The offshore cycle is still very much alive and well.
And it's not just the companies rewriting their own scripts. The Wall Street analysts were busy today, essentially casting new roles and assigning new character arcs to a ton of names. It felt like a flood of initiations.
It was a casting call for the rest of the year, and you saw some really clear themes. Take the payment space. Deutsche Bank comes out and resumes coverage on three big players.
And they were not all treated equally.
Not at all. They put a buy on Shift4 and Toast, but they kept PayPal at a hold. That tells a story right there. They're betting on the nimbler, restaurant and software-focused players over the established giant.
So the money is flowing to the disruptors in that space. What about big tech? I saw some huge names getting new coverage.
Yeah, and again, a fascinating contrast. You have JP Morgan upgrading HP Enterprise, the old tech hardware play, to an overweight. Skoda Bank starts Oracle with an outperform, seeing a $300 target.
Wow, so big bets on the established giant's comeback tour.
Exactly. But then, on the flip side, HSBC initiates on CoreWeave, one of the hottest private AI infrastructure companies, with a reduce rating. That's a gutsy contrarian call right out of the gate.
That's a plot twist, to come out negative on a name like that. And I saw some smaller, interesting names, too. The Real Real getting a buy. A bet on the luxury resale market.
And how about Vertical Aerospace? Needham starting them with a buy. That's a pure high-concept bet on the future urban air travel. So you have these scripts being written for every corner of the market, from old tech to flying taxis.
Okay, so that's the new cast of characters. What about the setting for tomorrow's scene? What does the economic data slate look like?
Pretty quiet, which is probably good. We get housing starts and building permits at 8:30. The market will be watching to see if the housing market is holding firm. Then at 10 o'clock, we get the first look at July consumer sentiment.
That's a big one. After all the talk about the consumer trading down, that number will be under a microscope.
It's a huge tell. But really, the data is just the opening act. The main event, the storyline for all of next week, is the earnings calendar. It is stacked.
It's a murderer's row. Where do you even start?
You start with the banks on Tuesday. JP Morgan, BlackRock, Wells Fargo. Then it keeps coming Wednesday with Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs. That's the entire financial system reporting in about 36 hours.
And then the tech and industrial headliners roll in.
Oh, yeah. You get ASML, which is the other side of the coin to TSM. Then, on Thursday after the bell, the one everyone's waiting for, Netflix. Can they continue that subscriber growth story? It's the ultimate streaming cliffhanger.
So you have this massive wave of fundamental catalysts about to hit. What is the tape? What are the charts telling us right now? Is the market positioned for a breakout or a breakdown?
Well, if you look at the SPY, it's telling a story of resilience. It's been churning, but it's holding that 628 level. It's stable. The QQQ, though, has a bit more of an upward tilt. It's pushing up against that 562 level with solid volume.
So the tech leadership is still there.
It is. The overall picture is a market that's coiled. It's absorbed a lot of news, it's at all-time highs, and it's basically just waiting.
It's waiting for one of these big earnings reports next week to provide the dialogue for the next major move up or down.
So if the market is coiled like that, just waiting, what are the tripwires? What are the exact price levels that tell us whether this spring snaps up or down?
That is the entire game right now. For the SPY, the battlefield is drawn between 627 on the downside and 629 on the upside. It's been consolidating right around 628, so a break of those levels will be fast and loud.
And for the NASDAQ, the QQQ, which has been the leader,
even tighter. Support is at 561, and the big resistance is 563. Given how resilient it's been, a solid move through 563, that could be the start of the next tactical breakout.
Okay, so we have the lines on the chart. What about the fear gauge? Does the VIX or the VXX tell the same story of a coiled spring?
It does. The VXX has been incredibly stable, just hovering around that 45-50 level. There are no alarm bells ringing. It suggests tempered apprehension, but you have to watch it. Any sudden spike there is the first sign that the bearish script is about to start playing.
So the overall market is tight, but under the hood, is the money moving? Are we seeing rotations between sectors that give us a clue about what's coming next?
Oh, big time. It's not one market, it's a market of markets. You have clear divergent trajectories. The technology sector, the XLK, is showing real strength. It's recovering, volume is there. It's confirming the story the QQQ is telling.
And where is that money coming from? What's looking weak?
Well, you look at financials, the XLF, or healthcare, the XLV, there's just no real momentum. The volumes are neutral. It's a clear sign that capital is rotating out of those areas and into growth.
And I saw a little bit of life in energy, the XLE.
Yeah, a noticeable surge there. So you have this interesting script. The market is betting on tech growth and, at the same time, hedging with a bit of a value inflation play in energy. It's a really nuanced picture.
So if we're following the money into tech, which specific stocks are getting the lead roles? Where is the conviction?
You look at the mega caps. Apple, AAPL is just consistently strong. It keeps retesting that upper resistance around 210.50. Google is the same. There's significant buying interest. The volume spikes are there. These are the names carrying the narrative.
And the analysts are following that script. I saw Johnson & Johnson, Chipotle, even PNC Bank getting upgrades today.
Right, but even that tells a story. J&J is a defensive healthcare giant, Chipotle is a premium consumer play, and PNC is a bank. It shows that even while tech leads, there are these company-specific stories that are working.
But let's be honest, the overall breadth wasn't great. I saw the end-of-day projection, something like 415 stocks down versus only 172 up.
And that's the caution I'm talking about. That's why you can't just buy the index. It confirms the rotation story. The market is getting narrower, it's focusing its bets on the big, reliable growth engines like tech, while the rest of the market kind of drifts. It's a market for picking your spots, not for broad bets.
Okay, so if it's a market for picking spots, let's get tactical. You mentioned the semiconductor space has been resilient. What's the specific play there?
The play is AMD. It's showing that classic bullish momentum with high relative volume. The story is simple. It's consolidating just below a key level. You're looking for an entry near that 159.85 support.
And the trigger for the next move up?
A clean break above 160.70. If it clears that with volume, the script calls for a quick run to 161.50, maybe even 162. But you have to respect the plot twist. If it breaks below 159, the scene is over and you exit.
Got it. And what about some of the other names that are showing that positive sentiment? I saw SoundHound, S-O-U-N, on the radar.
Yeah, S-O-U-N is another one with that sustained volume. It's a more cautious setup, though. The price increments are smaller. You're looking for an entry around 1258, trying to ride it through the 1268 resistance to a target of 1275.
A much tighter window on that one.
Exactly. It's a precision trade. And then you have the EV space with NIO. That one is all about a potential breakout. It's been in a super tight range. If it can sustain a move above 440, that could trigger a quick rally toward 445.
So three different tech-related stories, all with potential upward momentum. It really drives home your point about a market of markets, not one single market.
It absolutely does, and it's why you have to look at the whole picture. Even as we're talking about these bullish setups, remember that market breadth we talked about? More than twice as many stocks were down as up. That's the conflict in the narrative. That's the tension.
So the big money is crowding in to just a few strong stories.
That's the takeaway. The script for tomorrow is not about buying everything. It's about finding these specific characters like AMD or NIO that have a clear plot, strong motivation from volume, and a defined climax at their resistance levels. You play those scenes and you ignore the noise from the rest of the cast.
A fantastic way to frame it. The script is written, you just have to know how to read it. That's all the time we have for tonight. Thanks for breaking down the day's action and setting the stage for tomorrow.
Anytime. It's all about being prepared for that opening bell. Thanks for listening, everyone. Trade smart.